Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, and where have we been today? Well, through the Sean Bell grand jury's body of evidence, the NYPD's civilian complaint review board problems, the likely metal baseball bat ban for New York City high schools, and the debate on nutritional supplements just now. And we'll finish up with a call-in on the question, do many black kids consider studying to be acting white, or is that an urban legend? Now, we want no speculating here. We want your personal experience as either a black parent or as an educator of black kids, or maybe you're an African-American in your 20s or 30s or even older who wants to say whether this was true for you or your peers in school. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or you can email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. And we decided to ask because this has come up on the show recently in kind of contradictory ways. Let me play first a clip of Barack Obama from his speech in Selma, Alabama last week. This made big news for other reasons, but he also said this.
And if we don't start instilling a sense in our young children that there is nothing to be ashamed about in educational achievement, I don't know who taught them that reading and writing and conjugating your verbs was acting white. We've got to get over that mentality. We've got to do for ourselves. That's part of what the Moses generation teaches us. Not saying to ourselves we can't do something, but telling ourselves that we can achieve. We can do that.
So Barack Obama there saying it out loud, and that came shortly after Queen City Councilman Leroy Comrie was on the show. Remember, he was discussing his proposal for a symbolic ban on the N-word, and I asked Comrie if he thought that was a bigger behavioral problem, that is the perception that studying is acting white, than the N-word for holding down educational achievement, because he thought that blacks using the N-word with other blacks in the schoolyard actually had a detrimental effect on education. So his answer was noncommittal. But then we had a caller, the mayor of Nyack, John Shields, who said he used to be an educator and had an opinion on the issue.
You said something which very disturbed me, this myth about black kids not wanting to do well because it's white. I taught 30 years in New York City. Frequently, I was the only white person in the room, and I never had that experience. I had the opposite. Kids do want to perform, and they do want to perform well when they're encouraged and you're in a positive environment.
So after Mayor Shields said that, I asked Councilman Comrie what he thought.
I think the problem is within the community, there's been a few articles on it about peer pressure from other people when there's a high-performing minority student in a class or a school. It's like there's a desire not to see people succeed for some reason, or not to see people do academically well. It's like a dumbing down of the entire country. And it's not just African-American students, it's all students.
So Councilman Comrie there, interesting. I guess he's kind of saying, you know, it's true among all students that the ones who study hard and do really well in school are going to get picked on. And so maybe he was implying that the way they get picked on, if they happen to be black, is they get called acting white. White students actually face the same dynamic, but they get called other things, I guess is what Comrie was saying there. So there was that exchange. And on the other side, there was the Obama quote. And that's why we're opening up the phones to ask you about your experience. 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. And again, we don't want people just calling up and speculating here. We want your personal experience as a black parent or as an educator of black kids, or maybe you're an African-American grown up yourself who wants to say whether this was true for you or your peers in school. But what should we 212-433-WNYC. He said, almost forgetting to give out the phone number, 212-433-9692. And what should we make of these contradictory statements by politicians? Was Barack Obama pandering to white voters by bringing this up or addressing a real problem? Was the mayor of Nyack pandering to black voters by denying a real issue in the community so he wouldn't look like a judgmental white guy? Or is a third explanation possible that doesn't involve pandering by either of those pals. Call us up with your experience. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. Tanya in Hazlitt, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Tanya.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
I am fine. I am the parent of a 12-year-old son who is doing very well in school and is expected to do well. He doesn't know anything about not studying because you're black. I grew up in Rhode Island, and I was expected to bring home good grades and, again, didn't have this issue. Mm-hmm. I went to Howard University, pretty much an all-black school, and didn't catch any of that not knowing, you know, not studying because that was a white thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I have heard that, it has basically been something that I have heard in the media, but that is nothing that mm-hmm. I have ever actually experienced around people that I have been around.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and your son doesn't come home with any of that from his... He wouldn't get it from you, but he might get it from his peers, but you say he doesn't.
He doesn't. No, not at all. He wants to be a scientist, and he realizes you have to study.
All right. Thank you very much. Good luck to you and to him. Wendy in Springfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I wanted to say my experience was mixed. I went to a private school in Manhattan, and I loved to study, just like I loved to dance and I loved to eat. And my black cousins were both very proud of me. I remember them saying when I was five, oh, wow, you know, look at my cousin. Look, she can read, you know, and I would read stuff that was more than a five-year-old should be able to read.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, they thought I was a little weird. They never called me white about my studying, but they thought I was a little strange, but they never said that I was white. But it was a mixed thing. They were both proud of me and thought I was a little strange.
So maybe Comrie got it right, that any kid who's particularly academic is going to get it from their peers. And whether it gets attached to race or attached to something else, that's kind of the way of the children's world.
Yeah, I think that may be it, because we have the words bookworm and these other words I don't use because they don't mm-hmm. make any sense. Geek and all that sounds like another language to me. But bookworm, at least you can see that. It's a worm
yeah.
that's in a book, all right? But we don't have a word for a person that, you know, that's a negative, right? We don't have a positive for the person who studies. And that's American. Americans do not like people who are smart. There's a saying, you know, if you're so smart, how come you're not rich?
Yeah. Wendy, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
And Michael in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, how's it going, Brian?
Good, how you doing?
Hanging in there. I mean, I believe that personally it's a duality. You have to still maintain some sort of, I guess, acting cool, being cool, and then you won't come across the issue or the problem of being, you know, stereotyped as a geek or what have you.
Mm-hmm. And the race piece attached to it in your experience or no?
Well, yes. I mean, I grew up, you know, in the city. I'm a young black guy, and I had honors courses and so on and so forth, but I also played sports, which kind of kept me out of it. But, you know, you come across when I had maybe something for maybe a mock trial or something of that nature. Kids like, why are you doing that? You know, why
mm-hmm.
aren't you hanging with us? It's kind of, you know, you're a nerd. You're trying to be a white
yeah.
guy or...
Right. So what do you think when either Barack Obama brings it up or the mayor of NYAC says this don't happen?
Well, to be honest, I agree more with Barack Obama that it's something that you have to get over, because education is fundamental in all aspects of life. You can't really, like I said, it's a duality. You can't be strictly about the books and not know any other parts of life, but it is something you have to get over and strive to be educated.
Michael, thank you very much. Here's an email that says, I think this is a class and generational phenomenon and part of the dumbing down of America and the fascination and romanticization with ghetto culture. As a 40-something black woman who grew up in an all-black community in Baltimore during the 60s and 70s, this was never the case. Many of us excelled regardless of our socioeconomic situation. If anything, we were always told we had to work harder and excel more than our white peers to get ahead, because we'd historically been denied access to education and jobs. Many of us went to historically black colleges, writes that listener. And Pat in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Pat.
How are you this morning? You know, my daughter is gifted and talented as tested. And when we lived up here in Newark, we had, you know, she was in the gifted and talented programs in a black and Latino school. And, of course, she was given the, oh, you're trying to act white. And I have a theory on that because when we moved down to Woodbridge, my daughter is still in the program, the gifted and talented program, and she's still not being ostracized, but it's a different spin on it. And I'm guessing it's more of a point of reference. If you're in a community where those who are the quote smart ones, end quote, are the folks that we see in those positions, the teacher, the principal, the folks on TV, and they're white, that would be the point of reference. And then when we moved down to Woodbridge, it was a different thing because now the point of reference, okay, who's this girl, who's this young woman of color that is not what we see as
right.
someone who is in that role. So she's getting it. So she got it in one sense when she was up in Newark. Now she moved to Woodbridge. It's a different spin, and it all gets back to you have to teach the kids as the previous caller was saying.
Yeah, interesting comparison that you've gotten the chance to live. So what do you think about Obama bringing it up?
I think there's some other issues. I think I think there was a bit of pandering there because I've started to really watch his campaign, and I'm just seeing him doing a thing that is in the black community, that when you're more comfortable, you say one thing, and then when you move into another in another area, certain other things come out. And I'm just not sure that he is who he is. He's got a unique experience. But you know, I would just feel much more comfortable if he would either straddle the fence, get on one side, or get on the other and speak his mind. That's
Pat, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Lena in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lena.
Hi, Brian. I'm calling because I was born in South Africa, and I came here to go to school practically, and I went to boarding school in Boston, which was predominantly white, so there was no such a thing. You know, you didn't get enough. You had like 5 black kids there. And then I went to college in New Jersey, which was predominantly black, and that was tough because most of the time I was studying, but I was studying because I wanted to finish school and I wanted to go back home and be educated. It had nothing to do with me being a bookworm, but it was just that I had a mission. And you find that most kids don't have a mission and they don't have a plan, so it's easier for them to just say you're trying to be white, and which is what I got most of the time.
You did get that.
I got that when I was there. It was even tougher because I'm coming from a country where education was tough for us. So coming here, it was just like I couldn't believe they were not taking advantage
right.
of everything that they had. So.
Most white kids in college don't have a plan either.
No, they don't. Most Americans don't have a plan.
Right, but there was that race thing attached to your mostly black experience. So what do you think about this from an emailer who writes, when black students attend schools as well-funded as those attended by white students, when school discipline and punitive special education classifications are not predictable by the race of the student, when all students attend challenging classes that prepare them for college and life beyond, then perhaps we can consider socio-psychological factors in the home and the community. You get the gist of that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the thing about it is I'm one of those people that attended schools that were, you know, I mean, St. Mark's in Boston is one of the top schools
in the country. Yeah.
And another thing was, you know, and they were well-funded and everything else, but the thing about it, you do have to consider that in this country. There is a stigma that is attached. I do, you know, agree with Obama that there is a stigma that's attached that you're not supposed to study. I don't know why, as a black person. But it also has to do with your environment, where you're growing up. It's like when you go back home with books and everything else. It happened also in South Africa.
Lena, thank you so much. Good luck to you. And Barbara in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Barbara.
Hi there. First of all, I want to say to black people, please be careful about responding to questions about Barack Obama. If you don't want to vote for Barack Obama, don't vote for him because of what you think, not because of what the media puts in, which brings me to my thing. Media is so interested and so obsessive on what black people's feelings are about what's going on with that. I'm an educator and a retired educator in my late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you, who also grew up in Harlem, a wine that was on the street, who said, why aren't you in school? So don't go for it. Don't go for it. Black people have always, always stressed education. In fact, they always told you that you will have to be three times better than your white counterpart in
right.
whatever venue it is.
But apparently there are some people who say, yes, that was exactly the way it was in your generation, but now there's a different ethic out there, at least among some in the younger generation, and you have a younger person like Lena calling from, you know, who grew up in South Africa, came and had another kind of slightly outsider's perspective on it, and did hear that on the streets. So maybe something has changed over time.
Well, the key word there is, Lena, I love you, Lena, but when you come to the United States, if you haven't had the special United States black experience, then you don't bring everything, the understanding, not to say that you don't have, we would not negate your experience where you are, but each experience has its own kind of drawbacks. And I would ask you to talk to more people who were born here to get some of the experiences that they had and are still having. I don't see any kids. I taught kids in, I didn't teach rich black kids.
Mm-hmm.
And never, mm-hmm. ever did I hear
just didn't
that
come
expression.
Up. So what do you say to Barack Obama for raising it on the campaign trail?
What I say to Barack Obama is be a Barack Obama. Don't pay attention to what the media says, because the media... Really,
I'm asking you. I'm asking you.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Are you interested in what my opinion
Go ahead.
Is?
Go.
What I say to Barack Obama is, say what you feel. Ignore all of the divisive issues that are brought up
mm-hmm.
to make separate you
mm-hmm.
from black people.
Okay.
That's what I say.
Barbara, thank you very much. And thanks to all of you who called on this segment and all day. And thanks to all of you who listened. Nuala McGovern produced this program with Lisa Allison, Kate Hines, and Mark Phillips. That's still Debbie Daughtry at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.